in the preaching, but 2 Kings chapter 18. If you're a visitor tonight, just want to tell you this is not how we normally do things. Tonight's our culmination of our men's camp that we just finished, and so the men are going to preach some of the things that maybe God dealt with them about or just give a testimony. But 2 Kings chapter 18 says this in verse 1. Now came to pass. I'll try it again. We all right? Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. Verse 3, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David, his father, did. And then it describes the things that he did. And verse 5 says, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. So when you learn about this guy, he was born into an awful home. His father, Ahaz, was one of the worst kings that Judah and Israel ever had. And he grew up in a home that did not know God, didn't want anything to do with God. As a matter of fact, did everything opposite to the God of the Bible. And yet here's his son growing up, and he decides to do things differently. His name, now his mother must have named him, because his mother means him strengthened by the Lord. And she's obviously a good influence on his life. And as the Bible says, his mother's name was Abby. So next time that you meet somebody and their name is Abby, think that's a good Bible name. Now at 25 years, he becomes king. And I asked the men, and I said, well, how would you like at 25 years old to be given a kingdom? Now it wasn't a big kingdom. It was a tiny little kingdom. But you're still king at 25 years old. Must have been amazing. He could have done anything he wanted, couldn't he? I mean, when you're king, you're in charge. Yeah, anything you want, you don't have to work. You can just tell people what to do. It's every person's dream to be king. Well, he's king at 25 years old. He reigns 29 years. And if you read along in there, you find out he actually lived 15 years longer than he probably should have. Now, what jumps out about Hezekiah? He patterned his life after David. It says there in verse 3, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And whether anybody else agrees with what you're doing, make sure God does. Make sure that you're living according to his plan, according to his design. Live in a life that is right in his sight. According, now he does it. He says, I know God has all of these instructions in the Bible, but it's kind of nice to have a pattern. And so he patterned his life after David. He says, David had a heart for God, loved God, and lived for God. I want to be like David. And so he went against his father's lifestyle of false worship. He could have just gone with the flow. Too many people get into alcohol, get into drugs, because dad was a bad influence. But that you don't have to be like that. And that's why we have 12 weeks to freedom. That's why we have church. Because you can go against the world. And you just have to have a good reason to. The Bible says that his actions were right. I don't know if anybody followed you around and heard how you talk and watched what you watched and listened to you know, the things you listened to. I wonder if they'd say they're living right. But if you watched Hezekiah, he lived right. His actions were right. He really determined, I'm going to do right. And then I make the emphasis, it's right. It was right in God's eyes, because he sees everything. God seems to think that he did well. And it was because his heart was right. That doesn't mean, I don't believe, Brother Dan, that he did everything dot, I, cross, T, perfectly right. But, you know, when your heart's right, everything else sort of just falls in place. Amen? So, and it prepared him for what was ahead. And that was a war. That was a battle with 100. There was going to be a day where there was going to be an army of 185,000 men, soldiers from Assyria, that were there to destroy this little city and all of its inhabitants. So a very quick summary, and I did this with the men every time we met, I said there are 8 things that need to jump out from you about the life of Hezekiah. Most people, I would say, have if they read their Bible, they sort of just read about these kings, but they never just say, what is there to learn? Well, there are 8 things. Let's see if my men can remember what were those 8 things. What was the first thing? Somebody raise your hand. Tell me. Huh? Do right. You know, you got to. It doesn't happen accidentally. You're going to have to decide, I'm going to do right. Today, Lord, help me to do right. I want to do right. An old preacher had a message, and he just, throughout the message, he just says, do right. Till the stars fall, do right. That is our greatest, keep, fear God and keep his commandments. Do right. What was the second thing? Yes, sir. Trust God. Now you're doing right, but that doesn't mean anything's going to go right. Sometimes you're doing right and you're getting the most trouble. So you just trust God. And Hezekiah seeing this army out there, and he could have said, well, you know, I need to try this, or I need to try to negotiate. And he just decided, I'm just going to do right. So he trusted God. What's the third? Who knows? John. Expect to fight. Because when you try to go against the flow, the devil will come against you with everything he's got. And so every time you decide, I'm going to go to church on Sunday night, something's going to happen Sunday afternoon. It just happens. So expect to fight. Fourth thing. Yes?
Learn to pray.
And Hezekiah was pushing a corner. What's funny about Hezekiah, he had a great friend, a great man of God. His name was Isaiah. To make sure, because I kept saying Elijah. But Isaiah. And when Hezekiah was in a bind, he said, go tell Isaiah to pray for me. That's a good thing. It's nice to have a good friend like Bill and say, Bill, pray for me. And then, knowing that God always answers Bill's prayer. And that's what he had at first. But you know, through all of the troubles and the pressures and the army out there, Hezekiah said, I better go pray. And so you need to learn to pray. Number five. What was the next thing? Tony, what was the next thing? You remember? No. Mary, what was the next thing? Good. When you do learn to pray, be surprised at God's response. It's whatever. Listen, when God moves, it's awesome. Right? I may try to help you and it'll be... But when God works, it's awesome. So look forward to surprise. Dean was sitting there talking about one of our verses was Jeremiah 33:3. And it says, call to me and I will answer thee, which is great, but I'll show you great and mighty things you haven't even imagined. You can't, so don't be so quick to tell God how to answer your prayer. Sit back and go, I can't wait to see what it is. What's number six? Bill, do you remember? No? While you're praying, be careful what you pray for. Oh, Hezekiah prayed for longer life. Oh, and there's not one of us that wouldn't. If you got terminal cancer, if you got something that says you're going to die in 3 days, you're going to say, Lord, let me live. Be careful what you pray for, because in that next 15 years, he forgot God. And he messed up in the relationship with his own son that was going to be born during that time. And Manasseh became worse than Ahaz, which is awful. So be careful what you pray for. Number seven, beware of pride in you. Dan's great message on pride. Just, it's what men struggle with. Number eight, what was the last thing? Pass on your walk with God to your kids. Show them what life. Tell them, explain to them, talk to them. Pass on why you believe God is God and why you trust him and how to trust him. Pass on what God has taught you. So, let's see if we've got some testimonies. Who would like, you got 5 minutes, gentlemen, one after another, even just give a testimony, or we'll have some special singing as well, or a 5 minute message. Who's got one? Dan's coming up first.
I had a great camp, and 1 minute.
I didn't know you wanted
this. Wow, all right, well, nice to see you all. I only got 1 minute. I had a great camp, and it was just glorious the whole time. The fellowship was amazing. The singing was amazing. I love being shoulder to shoulder with men who love God, and it rubs off on you. And so iron sharpened iron, and the preaching was good. Every single preacher touched my heart. I especially remember Andrew's message on Father's influence, and I'll tell you, it touched my heart about my boys and, you know, my dad in the home was just not there, you know what I mean? We didn't, but, you know, you can turn out right. And just like Hezekiah did, even with Ahaz, his wicked father. Anyway, I just enjoyed the camp, and I wish more guys would take advantage of this. I know some of you just can't, but, I wish more would take advantage of it. It's just a great time. I do have one little short message, Psalm 71. Psalm 71, and in verse 18, I'll be up and out of here before you know it. Amen. I'm going to shut up and sit down. This was one of the memory verses. And Brother Craig and Andrew were talking about it when I stepped into the office. And it just stuck with me. Psalm 71:18. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, and they both pointed at me when we were reading that, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. And I just thought of myself, you know, what God has done in me and through me, and how much more he could do if I would just be willing and yielded vessel to let him show his power and glory. That's what I would want for my life, to show what God can do in somebody's life who's totally committed and submitted to the will of God. But when I looked at it, it said, now also, when I am old, I thought there must be something before that. So I just went back one verse and it said, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. And I thought of David, who's writing this, and I just thought how wonderful it was that David from his youth loved God. He just loved the Lord, and God taught him how to be a good shepherd, how to be a protector of the sheep. He taught him responsibility. He taught him courage. You know, David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know what encourage means? It means to put in courage, to help somebody be courageous, to go through with what they're trying to do and what God's laid upon their heart. And David just praised God, you know. Well, I didn't have that when I was a boy. I didn't get saved till I was 35 years old. So I said, Lord, how do I apply that to my life? And I thought, as a new believer, I was like a little baby. And, you know, God wants to prepare the willing believer. No matter how old you are when you get saved, if you're willing, God wants to prepare you. So he allowed people into my life. He took people out of my life. He taught me some things and took other things away. And whatever I am now, it's because God prepared me for what I'm doing now. And he wants to do the same thing with you. He taught me the Bible. Like it says there in verse 17, God, oh God, thou hast taught me. And he taught me the Bible. He taught me how to live right. He taught me how to be a giver. He taught me how to live by faith. And I don't want to waste God's time. I want to do what God has called me to do and what he's helped me to do. And let me just give you these points here. The world needs to see God's strength and God's power, not mine. A real moving display for people to see is God in you, not you. And then we have to do something that is bigger than we are. In order for God to get the credit and the glory, we got to do something that's bigger than we are. Something that we couldn't possibly do without God. And I thought of a quote from William Carey. Said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. You ought to ask yourself, what am I attempting for God that I can't do? God's going to have to do it through me. Because he wants to do that, like Hezekiah prayed and said, amen. Hezekiah prayed and said, you know, I want to show your glory to all the nations. And that's what it says in verse 18. I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. You know, we should live our lives so as to be visible displays of what God can do. Amen. Amen.
Something more than one wise person has talked about how if you want your life to change, then you have to change something that you do every day. And things that you do every month or every year, like men's camp, are really important. But equally, if not more important, is the thing that you do every day or more often, like, for example, breathing. Now, what Daniel did, when it became illegal for just 1 month to pray, he could have just obeyed the law and waited for a month and then prayed. But instead he risked his life to pray 3 times every day. And so if men's camp can change you, it'd be because it changes something that you do every day. And, you know, you might think a change is small, but nothing can remain small if you repeat it and you might keep going. If I can encourage you to do that. But something else I want to mention about Hezekiah, if I can do it quickly. in Chronicles, it talks about, it's a completely different subject, but it talks about how his heart was lifted up. Therefore was there wrath upon him, upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he humbled himself, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. In Kings, it kind of implies that, but doesn't actually mention that. But in Jeremiah, it talks about how Micah and the Moraslite prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, and spake to the people of Judah, saying, "This is in the days of Hezekiah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion, Jerusalem shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, the mountain of the house is the high places of a forest." And so, that made me think, and I looked up in Micah, because in Micah it doesn't say who he was talking to, but from that we know that he was talking to Hezekiah when he said this. And talk about Jerusalem at that time, when Hezekiah's heart was lifted up, it says, they build up Zion with blood, and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet we lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed like as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, the mountain of the house of the high, as the high places of the forest. You think about that, that was the extent that that his pride went to, that Jerusalem would have been destroyed because of it. And if you can think about it, Jerusalem coming to the high places of a forest, like a forested hill in the Middle East, that thousands of years ago there was a city named Jerusalem, like Sodom and Gomorrah. That was the extent that it went. But he humbled himself, and that didn't happen. And then his sons and his children, you know, went away. So that was another thing I was wanting to mention. But another thing, if I still have time, was his son Manasseh went away and undid everything that his father had done. He was born during that time, and Micah was talking about when they were building up the Zion with blood and teaching for hire and were arrogant about God being with them during all this. And so Manasseh grew up with that. That was what he grew up with. Almost like Hezekiah growing up with Ahaz, his father. But the Assyrians that God delivered Hezekiah from came again in the days of Manasseh, and he was taken by the Assyrians. And then he repented, like his father had repented. This is incredible. So that was all I had.
Okay. Now, I just want to say a few words about my experience of men's camp for the last few days. What a wonderful experience, though. I say it was the best time I enjoyed there in the 3 years I've gone to. The organization of the whole event was absolutely wonderful. I thank you, Pastor Craig, and your team for organizing so well. The food, kitchen staff did a wonderful job. Thanks, Tony, Emery, and everybody. Really enjoyed the food. Probably ate too much, of course, but I don't know, that shows how good the quality was. You just referred to earlier about the preaching, very high standard of preaching, I thought. Particularly enjoyed Pastor Craig early on when your speech there, the one about God doesn't always come to the rescue, as it were. He doesn't always answer your prayers. Pastor Dan very, very much enjoyed pride, the sin of pride, like you said about it. Pastor Andrew, your speech about fathers, I thought it was very personal, and you could see it in your demeanor that it was very personal to you, and well done for that. As well as the preaching, I thought the singing was exceptionally good. Wonderful group there. And it was a great sort of place for fellowship. Not just amongst ourselves here, but with all the other churches that were there. It was a great opportunity to have a word with them, Now, one thing that really, memory of the week, of the few days for me was the lads from Tala. What a great bunch. What they've come through, yes. And what they've achieved. You look at them, and you were saying earlier on, they're only a couple of weeks cured, as it were. But looking at them and their demeanor and, like, it's what an achievement, but you put it down to prayer. Prayer has achieved that, and God has answered the prayer. And I actually, these guys, they were I suppose they were full of drugs before, and a couple of guys were telling me they were very much into criminality. And one particular bloke I was talking to said he was 28 years in prison. And he, for bank robbery, and he was also in the IRA, and he's out of all of these things. And then what did he do? Well, he pulled up his shirt, and he showed me a bullet wound in the stomach. And I said, my goodness, this guy's come out of this. And look at him now. And he goes over and he praises Pastor Layton. And I said, well done. And I said, I'd love to see more of this now going forward, but there will be more that will come out of this thing. But there were great reflection on Pastor, you know. That was, that's something I really, really remembered from the few days, you know. And they seem to enjoy themselves so much there. And going around and rushing around, getting very involved in football and all the events. So, but it was a revelation to me personally. And I must say, as I say, I thoroughly enjoyed the few days except for one thing. I got locked out of the building. I got locked out of the building. I was coming back, it was 5 p.m. on Friday, and the back gate was locked. And then I said, I'll get in the front door. Front door was locked. Then I started ringing around and nobody was answering. And I just looked in through the door in the letterbox. Nobody around. I said, of course, they're all inside eating. So I said, look, okay, I'll be patient because I know God is on my side. And 40 minutes later, I got in. So that's very... But no, other than that, it's just fabulous, really. I'll be down. No, just to finally say, all I can just say is roll on. Amen. 2019 and men's cap. Okay, thank you. Yay.
I know Andrew texts to say something this evening, and I only looked at it when I was here, so I've not, anything that will come from the heart, I tell you. He also texted me about soul winning last week, and I saw it on Monday. So, but anyway, I was listening to too much of your preaching because you said not to be looking at the phone so much, or I think that was it. So there you are. So I don't look at my phone. So don't text me in future, ring me. But anyway, I think I have been at every one of these camps, and every year I say they're great. But this year, I really enjoyed it. And I don't know whether it's getting wiser as you get on, but it's certainly, you know, the fellowship is great with people. I met a lot of people, and you know, when you get talking to them and their backgrounds, very, very interesting. That side of it was very good. I enjoyed the Hezekiah and the connections to it. And, you know, why God doesn't answer prayer and how you were connecting that with Hezekiah. And, you know, Dan spoke about pride, and indeed the spiritual warfare that you talked about was very, very good. It all tied together in his thing. And then Andrew was talking about how Hezekiah didn't quite pass it on to his son as well, and that connection. You know, we do make mistakes with our lives, and you could see all of this fitting together in a good way. But it was very, very good. The food was great. I must say again what David mentioned about the guys from Dublin. You know, especially when they held up the signs that time, it gripped my attention. These guys were really through the mill with their lives, and you know, when you see it there, that they've been so many years addicted, got out of it, and now they're trying to live their lives that way. I was actually amused as well, because one of the guys who ran the race was from the home, and he came in first. And I said to him afterwards, I said, how'd you learn to run like that? And he said, well, I was running from the guards. He said, that was it.
So it was my first time on men's camp, so it is a really great camp, and I met different brothers from other churches in Ireland, and Also, I enjoy fellowship with them as well. And also, there's a lot of preaching or messages that reminded me again. And one of this is like, one of this is when God gave another chance to Hezekiah, like when he almost died, but he was given another 15 years, but Hezekiah did not use it to serve God and to just give all his best for God. And I was reminded that we are just like bubble here that just really disappeared, and our life is really so short. So while we have the chance, while we are still living here, let's do our best. Our resources, our strength, let's just do all to God. So, and also what else? I met I played also with the other brothers with them, and forgot the other one. Oh yeah. So while watching those people, that I saw them that there's a full of tattoos. Yeah, you know, that I was really amazed what God made to them, that let me say messiest people in the world, if the word of God work on them, it's like they will become more, they will be changed and humble. Yeah. So when I'm watching them singing like that, I was really so amazed. So yes, there's no impossible to God. So that's what encouraged me and to give me courage to every time I go soul winning for whoever, let me say, whoever I face, people like are scared or frightened, you know, on their looks, like brother, you know. And so just give me courage to just, amen. Yeah, because the power of God will, you know, it's really great, and it can change anybody. And what else? Yeah, there's still a lot of messages that I cannot mention because my wife is she's listening, so.
I was going to speak in tongues tonight, but I decided not to. We have a translator. I can speak in Romanian. I'm a missionary, Australian missionary in Romania, and I felt this week like Philip. You know, he was working in Samaria. He was being used by God in that place, and was told by God to go to another place where there was nobody, or like he was told to go in the middle of the desert. And he finds one man who receives Christ as Savior.
Amen. Amen.
And that's what happened to me this week. I came to Ireland, and there was one man that needed Christ. Amen. And God put him in my path. And so I praise the Lord for that. The one thing that really spoke to me this week, and is something that I've always tried to think about, is something that Brother Andrew said in his message, which was that Hezekiah, after he received 15 years from God, did nothing other than build a pool with his 15 years. You know? And it brought to my memory the Psalm 90, where it says, For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of by strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labour and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. And we have to think about what God wants to do with our lives. And like Brother Dan said, God wants to do something with our lives that is greater than us. Amen. Something that's more than we could possibly think. And Jeremiah says, you know, call on me and I'll show you great things, mighty things. Jesus said the same things to his disciples. When they said, he said, follow me and I'll show you greater things than these.
Yes.
I mean, and when I went to, I'm going to tell you a secret that I don't tell many people. But when I went to Romania, I was 30 years old and I read this verse in my quiet time and I said, Lord, what will I do with my life? What am I doing here in Romania? I have, if it says here, I have 70 years. What am I going to do with the rest of my years? What am I going to do with 40 years? And God answered my prayer and he said, 40 churches. 40 churches in Romania. That's bigger than me, isn't it? And I said, Lord, how am I going to do that? I don't know how. That's not my problem. I don't have to know how. Amen? I have to be what I'm supposed to be, do what I'm supposed to do, say what I'm supposed to say, and God will do the rest. Amen?
Yeah.
Just like this week at camp. I was in the right place at the right time to say the right thing to the right guy. And then receive Christ as his Savior. Now, I want you to pray for me about this answered prayer that I got from God. I sat down and my pastor told me years ago that you should live every day as if Christ was going to come today.
Amen.
But you should plan as if he's never going to come. You have to plan as if he's never going to come. And I think to myself, well, okay, what if I don't plant 40 churches in Romania? What if I don't get to 40? Well, I'm sure that on the way to trying to do 40, there's going to be at least one. Amen? Maybe two. Maybe three. But 40 is the goal with my 40 years. And I sat down and I made a little plan for the next 40 years. And I said, two churches into five, because churches should plant churches. Five turn to 10, 10 to 20, 20 to 40. And I sat down and I said, okay, 4 years, the first 4 years, eight next 4 years, the next 4 years, the next 4 years, the next 4 years. And you know what happened? You know what happened? I look back now 11 years from when I did that plan, and I'm still on plan that I wrote down back 10 years ago. Amen? So please pray for me in that thing, because I want to do something that only God can do. Because you know how hard it is to start a church, amen?
Maria.
Would you open your Bibles at 2 Kings chapter 18? Usually when I go to camp, I'm involved with food, so I can talk to you about the menu. You can feed 66 men on 10 kilos of meat. But, you know, when I get there, I'm kind of busy, so, you know, I got the first full session preaching and I got the last session full of preaching, and in between then I got little bits and pieces. It's kind of like the crumbs under the table, but I got this little message that I have here. And what I want to do is just refer back to in 1 Peter 2, I just, don't go there, I just want to read out something that I read this morning. It says, 1 Peter 2 verses 11, 12, it says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And straight away, my mind came back to what was taking place in the camp. And especially, you know, since that we're called, like, to live separate from the world, God says, like, be holy, for I'm holy. There's a very high standard for the Christian. You know, in Galatians 5, 16 and 17, it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and you not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other. So it's that battle that goes on the inside, each and every Christian, every day when they wake up. It's a fact. And it's a war. It's a war that takes place on the inside. So that kind of brings me to, you know, the camp and what was being discussed down there. It was spiritual warfare, basically. It's the war that we have to go through to get the victory. You know, when Hezekiah got up one morning, he was faced with an impossible situation. He was surrounded by a huge army on all sides, and he knew like this that he was in deep trouble. And this guy, Sennacherib, sent another guy, one of his generals called Rabshakeh, to demoralize the people that were on the wall. This guy, Rabshakeh, came with a message from Sennacherib saying, you know, basically, you're finished. We're going to, you know, what we did in all the other cities around the place and the other towns, we're going to do to you. And he spoke in the Jewish language, not in the Syrian language, which upset the Hezekiah's, his generals, you know, because they didn't want the men to be, they didn't want them to be kind of demoralized. But that's what happens, you know, on a daily basis when we wake up as well. We have a choice. We can either walk in the Spirit or walk after the flesh. It's kind of like the message on Friday night from Leighton Kelly kind of nailed it down, like, we've got to win. Amen. And we've got to make up our mind. At least I have to make up my mind on a daily basis what it is I'm going to do. Am I going to give in and turn over and just go back to sleep, or get up and read my Bible?
Amen.
And, you know, pray and ask for the help that I need to get through the day. So that's basically what I took from the camp. It was a kind of a renewal of this war, of my will to keep on fighting the good fight, basically, that it needs to be done. I just want to refer as well to Hezekiah's prayer. So if you just look at 2 Kings 19, I think it's in verse 17, it says, of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands. This is Hezekiah praying to the Lord. He's saying, like, you know, what this guy said about is true. They have cast their gods into the fire, for there were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Wherefore they have destroyed them. Then he says, now therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. And it's that prayer that I picked up as well. You know, he didn't just pray like for the help that he needed, for himself, but that God would be glorified in that prayer, you know. And that's why I read out that verse to you, in 1 Peter 2:11. It says, in 12, it says, having your conversation honest with the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they shall behold, yeah. You know, which there has to be some change in the Christian life. You know, which shows that a change is taking place on the inside. And the people are going to see it. And that's how we're going to glorify God. By just keep on fighting that good fight. And that's what I got from camp. And that's what I got.
Amen. Anybody
No sermon, but a short testimony and a big thank you for to all the preachers and the cooks. That was a big one. who kept us alive while we were at camp. my mother made a lot of my food, but the food that I ate from camp was awesome. So thank you very much. I wish Imre was here so I could hug him again. One sermon that really encouraged me was Mr. Dan, Mr. Yours did too, but Mr. Andrew's sermon about fathers, and it really gave me a bigger, really encouraged me to be a, be in the future a, give me a drive to be a, the best father I can. Yeah. And, it, and a lot of your sermons gave, basically gave me the tools to, do that. It was just amazing. My first men's camp, and no regrets there. I saw new friends. I met new friends. I saw old friends. Great fellowship. Great games. Thank you, Eric, for the games. Of course, the relay race destroyed me, but the cold, and I had a headache and everything, but it was fun. It was fun. So thank you, and I will be there next year if at all possible.
All right, turn your Bibles, if you would, to Galatians chapter 4. And while you're turning there, also turn to Psalm 68. So have two spots as we get there eventually. As we kind of learn more about the introduction with Hezekiah, Hezekiah grew up with a very wicked father, in so much that he made the nation of Judah and Israel to turn away from God. And Hezekiah should have been just like his father. But Hezekiah chose not to be like his father. Instead, he chose to emulate a man after God's own heart, who was King David. Now, David lived 11 generations before before Hezekiah came on the scene. But David made such an impact upon Hezekiah as a young man that he desired to look to him as his example. He didn't have a good example with Ahaz. I mean, if you look there back in 2 Kings, we already looked at it before, you know, he called David his father, not Ahaz. Ahaz to him was an abomination. He didn't even have any respect for his father because of the wicked things that he did. He didn't want to even call him that. Said he called David his father. And look at Galatians chapter 4. You know, there's some in here, you may probably didn't have a good relationship with your father. And I've noticed in the last 100 years that this relationship of father and children has been disintegrating slowly and slowly, where their fathers do one thing and they don't have any kind of influence on their children. You know, it's the wife's job. You know, it's the mother's job. They raise the kids. You know, and the men, they don't do anything. They don't invest in their children. And so that children, that generation grows up not knowing how to be a father. And so instead, they copy what their father did. They do their own thing. And they let their wives and they let their mothers take care of the kids. And what happens to them? That generation grows up not understanding what a role and the great influence that fathers have in the relationship in the home that God ordained. See, God knew that fathers have such a great influence on their children. That's why we call God our Father. You know, he has that influence. He has that relationship with us, because according to Galatians chapter 4, verse number 4, says here, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." When you became a born-again Christian, you became God's child. He is now your father. I made a statement in the message at the very end, just something that was on my heart in the conclusion. And I said, how you've allowed the influence of your father to affect you, it will also affect your relationship with God. Your relationship with your father will affect your relationship with God. You see, God gave us our fathers physically as a representation of him. And if you don't have a good relationship with your father, as, you know, maybe he's not perfect. No man ever is. No woman ever is. But when our fathers fail us, we have a hard time trusting God because we don't know, they're their example in our life of God to us. And so when that role isn't there, it's a very difficult to make a close relationship with God for most people. Most people have a struggle with that. When they don't have a good relationship with their father, they have a hard time staying faithful to God. And so if you don't have a good relationship with your father or did not have a father in your life, you'll probably struggle in four areas primarily. I don't have time to go into them deeply. First one is prayer. If it's difficult talking with your father, or if you never were able to talk with your father, you're going to have a challenge learning and spending time with God in prayer, especially if you're relying upon him and asking them. Besides, prayer is trust. So your father probably has hurt you to some degree, whether neglect, verbal abuse, lying, never keeping his promises, or things he may have done. Because of this, you will have trouble trusting God and his word and his promises. A lot of people have this problem. They have this struggle. And the thing is, though, is not only prayer and trust, but secondly, feeling loved. If your father didn't love you, if he didn't tell you that he loved you, you will go through life not knowing what love is. And that's what God wants you to know, is to know that love, to feel love. That's why a father's job and responsibility is so important. And just remember, though, that no matter if you didn't have a good father in your life, Psalm 68, verse number 5, we don't have time to go there, but it does say that God is the God of, is the father to the fatherless. Mm-hmm. So you can look to God as your father and draw nigh to him. All right.